For up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You're now in the Essential Zone, where we seek to be informative, inspirational, enlightening, and dynamic. But more importantly, we seek to be fair and balanced. There comes a time when the game tolerates no spectators, only players. There comes a time when we must recognize that our individual aspirations shape our collective destiny. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, despite the challenges, regardless of the cost, is simply the right thing to do. There comes a time when we must find our hearts, find our soul, and pursue our purpose for the greater good of all, for country, for humanity. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. Yes, there comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials. The Essentials, serious radio for serious people committed to advancing the national conversation. Evening and welcome to The Essential. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Hubert Edwards, and you're listening to The Essentials, The Reset. As usual, we are going to have ourselves a wonderful conversation. This evening, we have some guests, and we are going to do the show in two parts. We're going to discuss an organization which we did speak about this month, the Toastmaster organization. So we're going to talk a little bit with our guests because we have a very special club joining us today. And as you are aware, if you listen to the show, October is Toastmasters month. And when Toastmasters month come around, usually we always have some features around the Toastmaster program here in the Bahamas. And then we will have a discussion. We're going to talk about the UN. United Nations and the extent to which it continues to serve us. And by us, I mean those of us countries which are categorized as third world countries. We're going to share a couple of clips with some leaders within the Caribbean and some leaders out of Africa. We're going to share some thoughts as to exactly where we are, what, how do we feel about it, and what the speeches or the pronouncement that these leaders are making, what implication do they hold for us? What is it that we're supposed to kind of glean from that? Are we to remain comfortable that the United Nations is serving countries like the Caribbean, like countries within the Caribbean, and certainly Black countries? As the Prime Minister says, Black governed country matters. But before we do that, we're going to get right into our conversation. We have on the live line Miss Rosina Duncanson, who is the president of Toastmaster Club 7178. We have Miss Allison Miller. Is Miss Allison Miller there? Well, we're expecting her, who is the vice president of education, and Miss Shannon Williams, who is the vice president of public relations. So we're going to jump right into it. We're going to have a wonderful conversation. We start talking about Toastmasters this week. I want to hear from you, first of all. Welcome to the show, ladies. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
Yeah, certainly a pleasure, Ms. Duncanson, as president. Tell us a little bit broadly about Toastmasters, because we want to do that, and then we want to get specifically some information about your club, Club 7178, which holds, I think, historically, holds some very, very important elements. For want of a better word, it represents, I think, an historical landmark in the history of Toastmasters here in the Bahamas. Talk to us about Toastmasters in general and share a little bit about your club.
Sure thing. So for those that may not know, Toastmasters is a public speaking and leadership organization. Persons join the program to enhance their public speaking skills, their impromptu skills, sometimes even trying to get over stage fright. We also have a leadership component where you can enhance your leadership skills. So you would have heard that we all have titles, and so those titles allow us to learn key skill sets. But there's also roles that you may do throughout a Toastmasters meeting that gives you skill sets like time management and leadership, like hosting a show for, say, we call it the Toastmaster of the Day or the Chairman. And so there are different roles that help to enhance different skill sets, either in a club meeting or outside of a club meeting. And as the host mentioned, our club, Healing Communicators Toastmasters Club 7178, we are going to be 24 years old this year. And so a lot of years of experience, and we are fortunate to have so many of our founding members still part of our club, distinguished Toastmasters that have served throughout the Bahamas, have served at the international level. And so we have a wealth of knowledge just at home in our club. We were also birthed from one of the oldest clubs, Club 1600, the first Bahamas branch of Toastmasters. And so we have been able to learn and grow from older clubs and been able to take our knowledge and expand into newer clubs across the Bahamas.
So as you look across the landscape, you talk about speaking, the ability to speak, and you talk about leadership. As you look across the landscape, what are some of the things that you see out in our world that, you know, we actually need Toastmasters for? You know, when you look at the leadership at the national level, when you look at the leadership at all sphere of society, what are some of the great things which you can take from Toastmasters?
One of the things that I think for me, so I've served at both the club level as a leader, as well as the district level as an area director. And one of the key components of leadership is getting people to work together and be able to accomplish a common goal. The common goals for the club may be to gain awards or goals such as education, identifying new members, and other administrative type goals. At the district level, maybe different goals. And so we all work together to accomplish a common goal. If you think of our nation, the nation itself would have the same thing, a common goal, enhancing maybe perhaps an income or tourism level, education, health and welfare. And so you'd want a leader that knows the common goal, can bring the right people together and be able to stay on track and on target of getting things done. And there can be some times when the project management or being able to communicate effectively with people will be critical to be able to get that particular goal accomplished. And so being able to communicate, manage, support, and work together are key skill sets that a leader might or should have.
And that is so important, because oftentimes we find individuals who find themselves as positional leaders. So they actually hold the position, but the ability to communicate, the ability to get ideas across, the ability to operate in environment where you need to build cohesiveness and that type of thing, which affect the effectiveness of your teams. Oftentimes that is not there. And, you know, Toastmasters offers a path for an individual who may lack these type of skills or who is seeking to improve on these type of skills to get there, to become better, to become more effective in their leadership journey. Talk to us a little bit about that.
So, as I mentioned earlier, during the education program, there are different, we call them hats, that a Toastmaster might wear. The Toastmaster of the day would be the moderator, the chairman. You have a new word, so on and so forth. Each of those roles play a key part. But the program also has a component called pathways. And within pathways, there are different choices that you can make that lets you harness the skills that you want to focus most on. And there is a path for leadership development, a path for mastering, you know, how to become a better leader, understanding your leadership style, your communication style, which are key components to becoming a better leader.
Yeah. Let me shift quickly to your Vice President of Education, Ms. Allison Miller. You play a very important role in the club. In the life of Toastmaster, education is really the key. And oftentimes persons on the outside, I think, misunderstand and misconstrue the true nature of what takes place in there. But ultimately, Allison, it's really about growing and developing people by seeking to create an environment where there is always continuous learning, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much, Mr. Edward. Thank you for having me. It is always continuous learning, as alluded to earlier, whether it be the word of the day, which we call our lexicology session. The lexicologist would present a word, ask whomever can pronounce, give the meaning, use it in a sentence. Also, opportunities for learning is also the impromptu part, which we call table topics. It is to help those people not scheduled on the program to practice their impromptu speaking skills. It helps you to think quick on your feet. One of my favorite part, and of course, with the prepared speakers, you learn about those individuals or the information that they would bring to the mm-hmm. table. That's also a learning opportunity. You may learn some things that you've never known or be refreshed by it. So absolutely.
Yeah, and these days, the editing. Program with individuals speaking from just about anywhere in the world. A legacy of Zoom, of COVID. But isn't that one of the new dimension to Toastmaster, which is just, you know, totally fantastic?
Absolutely. COVID was a blessing and a curse in many aspects, but of course we will highlight the blessing. A few weeks ago, I was in a Toastmasters meeting, being here in the Bahamas, all the way in South Africa. And it was amazing. So that this is one of the pluses that COVID has afforded us, the fact that we can now do hybrid meetings. And I don't know if I would have ever, or, you know, so time, gotten to South Africa anytime soon, but I was able to be there due to social media or this platform to be a part of that program in South Africa. So it definitely has changed the dynamic. And I think we've done a wonderful job of making the adjustment.
Yeah, because, you know, the COVID crisis, I think, came at a time and hit the club in such a way, because obviously the club is a face-to-face, persons like to go, they like to interact. And so the adjustment was necessary. But out of this adjustment has come a platform for such great networking beyond the borders and beyond the norms, where I know of individuals right here in the Bahamas who literally visit, I think, pretty much all clubs on all continents by this time virtually. And, you know, the level of relationships, the level of new friendships, the level of education in terms of, you know, information into new cultures, it goes well beyond maybe the classic view of, you know, these are just a bunch of people who like to speak, isn't it?
Yes, the relationship that's forged via the Zoom platform or whatever medium may be used, definitely. And when the opportunity presents itself to meet up in person, I'm sure it'd be nothing short of amazing. But definitely the situation being, how I would say, updated sort of in a way, is definitely rewarding. And the relationships, the networking that's being fostered is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I think we're all grateful for those.
Most definitely. I had the wonderful opportunity of interviewing a couple of international presidents, and one of them was actually in India. And I think based on the difference in time zone, we were on the opposite side of when you should be in bed. So it becomes that type of I think exciting possibility of meeting people, having conversation with them. Sometimes it's one-off, sometimes the relationship goes on, but always the experience is doable. Ms. Chanel Williams is your Vice President of Public Relations for Club 7178. You are the individual who gets the message out. You are the individual who ensure that persons know what your club is doing, know what Toastmaster is about. Tell us a little bit about why you want to be here this evening on the show, talking about Club 7178.
Good evening. Thank you for having us. And one of the reasons why I'd like to for us to be on the show is, as you mentioned, it's Toastmasters Month, and there are so many media channels that are available to us, whether it be social media, Facebook, Instagram, the internet, television, and radio is one of those media that we have. And so being here and being able to speak about our club and speak about our Toastmasters experience is a great opportunity to continue to reach people. And that's one of the reasons Vice President Public Relations to continue to reach people and let them know about Toastmasters and how great the program is and all the benefits of it. And so I'm just really grateful for you having us on the show. And I'm happy that some of the executive team was able to join us and share their experience with Toastmasters as well.
Yeah, but you can tell us that you come here because, you know, you want persons to hear how great it is without telling us how great it is. So how great is Toastmasters?
Toastmasters has honestly been, like, I would say for me personally, life-changing. I have seen myself grow so much over the past, I would say, almost 2 years of being a part of Toastmasters. I've been able to gain confidence in my voice, which was one of the main reasons why I joined Toastmasters, to be able to communicate with others and express how I'm feeling, which is very important, whether it be in professional or personal relationships, and honestly, just learn new ways to lead, new leadership styles, and just soak in the entire experience. And then also speak publicly, which is apparently a fear that is more common than death. More people are afraid of public speaking than they are of dying. So to be able to get behind a lectern or be on a Zoom or on a radio show and speak competently is a great skill to have. And I would not be able to do it without Toastmasters and without Club 7178. So those are some. I'm sure that if you speak to another Toastmaster, there are other benefits that they can tell you of, but those are the benefits that I have had personally in the past 2 years.
Yes, and certainly those are powerful ones. I just wanted to say, though, I know persons have repeated this often. There is nobody in the world that I know who is more afraid of speaking versus dying. Nobody wants to die, but it's pretty close. Some persons have a serious inherent fear of speaking. And I think that as Toastmasters, in many ways, as ambassadors of leadership and communication, our job is to tell them that, look, you know, you're not unique in any way, shape, or form. Everyone goes through this. But it is a matter of being in a place or getting the type of a training which is going to help you to build confidence. And that is a word that when you come to Toastmaster, you're going to hear over and repeatedly. And so I just want to switch back to Madam President. If you could, we heard from Ms. Williams, we heard from Ms. Miller, kind of how Toastmasters have impacted them. But let's hear a little bit about your journey. You sit at the this club 7, Toastmaster Club 7178. You know, how did you get here? How was the journey from wherever you started to this point? And I know that you have been in multiple leadership roles, but you know, how has this journey been for you?
Thank you so much for the question. So believe it or not, my journey started off when I was just an advisor for Junior Achievement. I would have watched my achievers go and do their speech contest that they host every year. And I was actually really impressed at how well the students were doing. They were brave and they were speaking without notes and they were very confidently communicating and competing. And I said that if the students can do it, it would be a good idea if I can do it too. And they actually hosted the competition at Club 7178, which is how I got to know about that particular club. And I opted to visit after a while. And like you've heard before, one of my biggest things I wanted to overcome was being a little more comfortable speaking in front of people. I found that to be a very big issue of mine. As quick as I got up to speak, as quick as I wanted to get back down. Unfortunately, I stopped for quite some time and I had to speak for work, and I realized part of the reason why I was still uncomfortable was because I did not complete the program. So I went back and I decided to truly immerse myself into the program, not just speaking, but trying to capture as much as I could from the program. And as mentioned earlier, the program offers more than just public speaking, it's also leadership. And so I did both. I would have competed, I would have taken on leadership roles. I wanted to really serve and I wanted to really support. I found out on the journey of just helping myself, there was also the component of helping other people. And so I found that mentorship was also a big part of the program, being able to support other persons in their journey, whether it be speaking, competing, leading. And before I knew it, I was suggested that perhaps I should look at, you know, leading the club. And I, for a very long time, said, I think I'll be okay. I'm good with where I'm at with work. I'm good without doing it. And now that I have, you know, served as area director, served as a club officer, and now as president, I'm grateful I said, yes, I would do it. Because there's truly a lot you can learn with each experience. And as president, I'm still much about leadership and working with people and truly appreciating the strengths and the skill sets of a team. And so for me, the journey started off with just speaking, but now the journey has transformed into mentorship, leadership, and how can I take what I've learned and pour it into somebody else?
Yeah, and that is so powerful. It's really about maybe, if you will, taking baby steps. Mm-hmm. And, you know, coming to grips with sometimes your own fear, because sometimes fear that we have isn't as manifested as some other person. Some person will ball up and seem as if they want to die. Some persons will sweat the place down. Others are able to resist it relatively comfortably, at least on the outside. Inside, I suspect that there's great turmoil. But our ability to embrace that and to become comfortable with being vulnerable, I think, is such an important issue, because at the end of the day, as you say, you speak for work, you speak in other. The practice you get in Toastmaster make you so fluid, make you so prepared, make you, you know, almost always ready to take on circumstances and situations. Sometimes are, you know, it's a little bit above your head, but guess what? You would have practiced and you would have developed the confidence, and in the moment you rise to the occasion. And so that is also important, hearing that from your journey. Alyssa Miller, as the CEO of education, the individual who's responsible for training, the individual who makes sure that when persons turn up, they are totally impressed by the potential offering of the club, what would you want to say to persons out there who you would wish to be a part of your club, and if not a part of your club, be a part of the larger Toastmaster movement?
Thank you for the question. I would encourage them to come and visit us. Our club is known for high energy and for being a welcoming atmosphere. We welcome you like your family. That's how I became a member. When I first, they were very welcoming. The atmosphere was electrifying. I just thought to myself, how could I not be a part of this? This is what I'm looking for. And then timing was everything. They met on the right night for me. So I became a member, but come and check us out. You could hear me say it, hear me talk about our club, but there's nothing like having the experience for yourself. So I encourage you to come out and visit our club, but there's not only our club, because there is a club for everyone. Some clubs meet once a month, biweekly, twice a month. Some meet every week. So come into the organization itself, and we promise you, you will not regret it. You will walk away with something that will enhance you, whether it is leadership, as Madam President said earlier, your personal development, coming into your own voice, as Madam PR said. And for us, some of us, is to just to become a little bit more confident and better in leadership, public speaking, and communication. So Toastmasters is totally worth it. I not regret the decision, even though the work can be a lot. You know, it's rewarding whether you see it in 6 months, a year, but it's rewarding. So I would encourage anyone, everyone, to check out Toastmasters. And I'm sure you, after having that experience of visiting a club, a meeting, you would want to come back again and of course, to become a member.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. 99%. Just one small correction. It's not work. It's a vocation. It's really not work.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. Absolutely.
Yeah, there may be challenges and there may be hurdles, but at the end of the day, you know, I think I heard somebody say someplace, you know, Toastmaster is a safe space where you can come and fail and learn. And so if you look at it from that perspective, it's certainly not work. Madam President, she's talking about, you know, come, you should come join and come check us out. But persons are thinking, you know, this is a hard thing. There's a lot of commitment, maybe a lot of money involved. These people are going to scrutinize me. They're going to have me at a meeting, and I have to go to the meeting for a year before they select me. How difficult maybe it is to become a part of the Toastmaster movement?
I like the last part you said better. How easy is it to become a part of it? And Toastmaster would have said it very well. First things first is come out and visit. There are truly different clubs with different cultures. And so the first thing would be to find a club that fits you, because it's your development. It's for your growth. And so identify a club that meets the time you want to meet, meets and has the culture you're looking for, the support you're looking for. And once you pick that club, every club has its own requirement for membership. For our club, we would like to see you come at least 3 consecutive meetings, so we know that you have some level of commitment. And after 3 meetings and you've shown interest, we will definitely give you the blueprint of how to become a member. Again, the dues are something that is a part of the commitment, because with the dues, you get access to education tools, you get access to other things that the club may have. And again, every club has its unique due structure. And so if you want to know what ours is, come and check us out, make those 3 meetings, and we'll tell you all about it. But it does require you to choose what's for you. It is a commitment. And I say commitment because you can say, I want to speak better, but if you aren't prepared to practice, prepare, and to truly immerse yourself in the program, you will not get what the program has to offer. And so you have to invest not just your money, but your time and your commitment, and even that willingness to adjust your mindset. Mm-hmm. Because for you to be able to transform, you have to be open-minded to what's new, what may be uncomfortable, and then, of course, be prepared for what can happen for you. And your journey may not be the same as someone else's. So ensure that you do it just for you and not because someone else made you do it.
And I think that is so important. You have to think about what is it that you want out of the program. Because if you go in for any other reason, if you go in because you're friends there, you may not be friends a year from now. If you go in because you figure it's fashionable, it may not be fashionable. If you go in because you figure, well, this is only going to help me to advance in my work, you may lose passion. If you go in there with a view that you are going to grow yourself, develop yourself, become a better person. Now, that's a never-ending project. So at the end of the day, you'll become a Toastmaster for life. It's distinguished Toastmaster Anthony Longley, who says, if you commit just 80%, just 80% to the program, in less than 2 years, the program is going to deliver for you exponentially. And I have seen that happen time and time again for different individuals. For myself, I've seen and observed individuals who came into the program without the ability to speak, without the any semblance of confidence, individuals who weren't highly motivated to pursue success in life, just change and become a whole new person. Madam Pierre, I know that in Toastmasters, we always do this table topic. So as we come to the end of this interview, I'm going to throw out something to you in table topic style. I want you to call all of the persons under the sound of your voice to come for leadership. Not just to come to Toastmasters, but to come for, let me adjust that. Come for better leadership, Madam VPR.
Thank you for that question. The motto for Toastmasters is where leaders are made. Now, you may have it in your mind that leaders are born, but Toastmasters has taught me that that is absolutely incorrect. There is a leader inside of you waiting to be made. There is a leader inside of you that's waiting to come out, and you need the right conditions and the right environment for that to happen. And the perfect environment is Toastmasters. If you don't believe me, come out to a meeting on Tuesday and watch leadership in action. As Madam Vice President Education said, from our lexicologists, they are leading. All of our executive team is leading, and everyone in that room is leading in some way. I promise you, if you come out to a meeting, you will see what leadership and excellence looks like. Remember, the motto of Toastmasters is where leaders are made. There is a leader inside of you. And if you join a Toastmasters club, preferably Healing Communicators Toastmasters Club 7178, you will find that leader and you will be so happy that you did. Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. It's important, I think, to understand that, yes, that leader is in there someplace, underdeveloped maybe, but certainly is in there. And the environment that Toastmasters create, environment that you will get at Healing Communicators. Think about the name, Healing Communicators. So if you're challenged, if you are troubled, if you are unreconciled in life, if you have some turmoil taking place, there is no greater therapeutic way of doing that than speaking, because we share our personal lives in our own unique way. We talk about things which challenge us. We talk about things which impact the country, impact the world. We talk about things that we're passionate about. And so speaking can be therapeutic. And so if you were to become a member of the Healing Communicators, imagine how you will be setting up yourself for your own personal healing by and through your own speaking. And so we encourage persons under the sound of our voice to, you know, in this Toastmasters month, consider Toastmasters as an option. Before we wrap this up, we certainly have to hear one more time from the President and the VPE. So, Madam VPE, what would be your last word?
My last words are similar to that of Toastmaster Chanel Williams. Come check us out. Let us help you to develop the leader in you. Any communication leadership that you may be timid about, we will give you the confidence you need to develop and to lead in whatever sphere and clue. We want to help you to grow and just be a better person. And I truly believe that Toastmasters have the tools to assist anybody with that. Thank you so much, Ms. Edwards, for having us.
It's certainly my pleasure having you. Toastmasters have the tools to help you to become a better leader, to help you become a better speaker, but more importantly, to help you to become a better person, a better version of yourself, better than you were yesterday, better than you were last month. And if you are consistently doing that, that means that you're growing. And if you are growing, then certainly you are developing and creating value, which you can then share with others. I think Madam President says the most important aspect of this, one of the most important aspects of this, is not just the growth that you experience in and of yourself, but your ability to help others, to mentor, to grow, to develop, to support. And I think that is an important element of Toastmasters, which must be highlighted. So, Madam President, we leave the last word for you. What is it that you want to leave your audience with as far as Toastmasters is concerned, or specific 7178?
Thank you so much. And really, to summarize what has been said already, Toastmaster Chanel Williams, the Vice President of Public Relations, is that person that's invested 80% and more. And you've seen the growth that she's had. She's now Public Relations Vice President with less than 2 years of experience under her belt, speaking phenomenally. Allison Miller, Vice President of Education, same applies, gaining all the experience and knowledge and passing it on to our members. The program is designed. The program is designed for you to help you to develop and take what you've learned to help somebody else. The tools are there, the people are there, the program is there. We just need you there. And so if you want to develop yourself, if you want to develop the ability to be more confident at speaking, more confident leader, and whatever else you may have, the program has the support, the community and the network to make that happen for you. Join the program.
And so it should be. I certainly want myself with all three ladies. And, you know, we have the ladies who are taking the charge and moving forward in leadership. It's always a wonderful thing to see. But certainly I align myself with your sentiment and I encourage persons, you know, all the persons who listen to this program absolutely know that Toastmaster is very close to this program and very close to my heart. So we want to encourage you to be a part of the program. And if you don't think Toastmaster is for you, then go out and find some other form of social organization where you can give back to society. Because at the end of the day, we are part and parcel of a larger experiment, of a larger effort, and that is to build better communities, better organization, and ultimately to build a better country, better region, and a better world. And I believe me when I say this, that Toastmasters can help you become a greater contributor to that ultimate outcome. So we were speaking with Rosina Duncanson, the president, Alyssa Miller, vice president of education, Chanel Williams, vice president of public relations, Toastmaster Club 7178, healing communicators. Ladies, it was certainly a pleasure to have you here. Look forward to future conversation, future interaction. I want you to know that this program is yours, and whenever you have a need and we can facilitate you, please feel free to reach out to us.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And so we are going to make a shift, and when we come back from this break, we're going to get into other substantive conversation. We want to talk about the UN. Is the United Nations serving the Bahamas, serving Jamaica, Barbados, Trinidad, Guyana? Is it serving the Caribbean? Is it serving Nigeria? Is it serving Kenya? Is it serving South Africa? Is it serving, in a fundamental way, the third world countries of the world? Is the United Nations kind to Cuba? You listen to the essentials, the reset. Don't move. Come right back.
Next Level Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, maximize their performance, and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions, practical solutions delivered.
Love the show? Get support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
The Access Accelerator Small Business Development Center is here to help small businesses throughout the entire Bahamas. To better serve you, we've made it easier to contact us. Call 461-7232, WhatsApp 359-0626 or 359-2394, email helpdesk@sbdcbahamas.com or submit a ticket when you visit our help center at .org. The Access Accelerator, empowering small business.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to The Essentials, The Reset. We are going to take a look at the United Nations. I'm not getting into any fundamental deep discussion about the way it works. We leave that for the more informed academics, individuals who have reason to discuss the pros and cons. We are not this evening even trying to be balanced. We're going to be proposing a position based on observation. So in recent times, we have listened to wonderful speeches, powerful speeches, speeches by the Prime Minister of the Bahamas, the Honorable Philip Braff Davis, speeches by the Prime Minister from Barbados, the Honorable Mia Mottley. We've heard speeches coming out of Africa. We've heard speeches coming out of Asia Minor. And one of the themes which I have picked up in listening to these speeches is the extent to which the smaller countries, those countries which constitute this classification which has been foisted on us as third world countries, the extent to which the leaders are actually speaking out against the approach of the United Nations. If you listen very, very carefully, one of the things that you will hear, you must hear, is a deep and urgent cry for reform. Now, an entity like the United Nations, it's a behemoth. And certainly change in those organizations, steeped in bureaucracy, steeped in multiple culture where it have its own culture, I'm sure, but certainly influenced by cultures from all over the world, different nationalities. Change is going to be challenging. But especially from a Caribbean perspective and an African perspective, one of the messages which is coming through and ringing very loud and clear is that the United Nations, as currently constructed in its decision making, especially because of the impact and influence of the huge veto power, may certainly not be serving the well-being, serving the desires of countries like ours. And if we take into consideration the frequency and the consistency with which these speeches are given, like every single time there is a presentation from the General Assembly, it's the same discussion, the same sentiment, almost regurgitation. Mia Mottley is evoking Bob Marley. We hear the Prime Minister is invoking, you know, Black Lives Matter to say Black country, Black rule countries matter. Why is this so? There is something which is fundamentally, fundamentally unsound about international, a global organization, which is built equality and equity, equal participation, the well-being of all. There is something, there has to be something fundamentally flawed when the lesser players, if you will, us, are consistently crying out for change, and that change consistently falls on deaf ears. The truth of the matter is, United Nations was created after 1945, World War II, and it started with 51 countries, and they were committed to maintaining international peace and security. And one can understand and appreciate that, because at the time, it was, you know, largely in response by starting with the Nazis in Germany. And this mushroom into, you know, it's you know, everyone had an interest who wasn't being fought in all the worlds, in every place in the world. But the big players were involved, the United States, the Japan, the England, Germany, and so on and so forth, yeah? And so the development of international peace and security must have been a high priority at that point in time, developing friendly relationships amongst nations and promoting social progress so that there could be better living standards for human beings and human rights, you know, after the great atrocities of the Jewish Holocaust. That was part and parcel of the response to those type of a treatment. Unfortunately, we didn't see, I will amend this, we didn't see similar movements when the African Holocaust came to so-called end, or at least in response to the African Holocaust. As a matter of fact, many of the players, many of the individual countries who were now clamoring for peace after war were the main players of the African Holocaust. But be that as it may, as a subject for a different day, this issue of human rights, and the United Nations has gone far. The United Nations Declaration of Human Rights has been a fundamental achievement across the world where, you know, seek to help or seek to undergird and concretize individuals with their fundamental right, the right to life, the right to freedom, the right to assembly, you know, the right to not have, be subject to inhumane treatment, so on and so forth. Those are very, very important things because, you know, we in this side of the world, we take a lot of those things for granted. But in some places, you know, that's kind of those persons' reality. You live in a complex world of living hell where fundamental rights that we don't even pay attention to are just, you know, abused every day, contravened every day, and it becomes normalized. So it has served its purpose. But the question is it still doing that? And is it going to benefit us? And from an economic and financial perspective, are the actions of the United Nations or inactions in many instances, are they hurting us? Will they hurt us going forward? Are we at a place where, because of our vulnerability to climate change, small nation, small population, limited resources, because many of us are part of the African diaspora, being countries which are working on the legacy of post-industrial era where all of the resources and the technologies and the know-how were pulled from us, and we were left to figure it out by ourselves and simply never catch up. hasn't caught up to this day? Are we at a place where we need to be better served by these international organizations? Are they doing it? Mainly for those who started it. And, you know, we now have the G7, we have the G20. Is it just about them? I want to share a couple of voices this evening of leaders, three leaders, kind of lamenting, speaking to the world, speaking to the sensibility of the world, and saying, look, you know, you're crushing us, you're hurting us, and in a very important way, you're kind of hurting yourself, or ultimately you will be. But when we look at it through the lens of these speeches, the message that I'm sure we won't be able to help ourselves walking away from is, look, you know, things aren't necessarily all good for us. The UN may not be acting in the best interest of us as third world countries. And it may not be that it may not be the case where they set out to deliberately do that. It's just the way the thing is organized, and the fact that you have significant influence and power within this arrangement, which is simply looking out for itself. So we want to start this evening first with a speech from, well, at least a segment of the speech from Honorable Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis, Prime Minister of the Bahamas, when he spoke at the United Nations this year. And he kind of set the tone for what we're talking about here, saying, hey guys, pay attention to us. We need to see this through different lens, because if you don't, some persons are going to hurt, and those persons are always going to be likely us. So let's get the first clip, Mr. Producer, to see what we have here.
Prime Minister Philip Davis has prefaced talks at COP27 with a bold and direct request.
Let those who pledge write the check.
Prime Minister Davis was addressing the United Nations General Assembly, hammering home the regional climate change threat that's going global.
Taking action is not just in the interest of those of us who are particularly vulnerable. It is in the interest of every country. And it is this enlightened self-interest that should motivate action. The good news is that there are also positive incentives. Transitioning to clean energy is going to create jobs, increase efficiencies, and improve living standards. Again, don't do it for us. Do it for yourselves.
Weathering economic conditions also highlighted to the world. On the heels of another blacklisting of the Bahamas just yesterday, the Prime Minister insisted that this characterization, like many in previous years, are unfair.
We find it astounding that the $2 to $3 trillion, which is estimated to be laundered each year through the developed countries, are never flagged as causes for concern. And yet my country, which is widely recognized as one of the best regulated countries in the world, and other countries like the Bahamas, are singled out for such reputational attacks. The evidence is mounting that the considerations behind these decisions have less to do with compliance, the darker issues of prejudged discriminatory perceptions. Let me submit, black governed countries also matter.
While airing that concern, the Prime Minister also called for the global financial system to become more relevant and move faster to address the issues of the day.
Community of international financial institutions are in a position to forgive the debt incurred by the economic shutdowns during the COVID-19 pandemic, and they should do so. Every year that we don't do the right thing to do becomes more expensive.
Also touching on the lingering issues of Haitian migration and gun trafficking, the Prime Minister voiced again his opposition to the decades-long embargo and sanctions on Cuba, noting the pending 2023 50th independence anniversary of the Bahamas. the Prime Minister called on the United Nations to submit to the guiding principle that none of us can be safe until all of us are. Keeping you in the know, this is OPM Press Now.
Keeping you in the know. Some important statements mentioned by the Prime Minister. Enlightened self-interest. They're basically saying to the people, look, you know, all of the things that you're doing, you're eventually going to kill off yourself. So because we know that you're selfish, because we know that you don't really give much thought about us, why don't you reconsider the issues within the context of you, how they're going to hurt you? Become enlightened in your own self-interest. A speech like that, a position like that, tells you the depth to which at least the Prime Minister believes that these persons are not really listening, and they're not paying attention, and they have not demonstrated in any way, shape, or form a commitment to making important changes. Write the check. There's always going to be talk coming out of the UN, but there's no check being written. Unfair treatment, blacklisting, and so on and so forth, you know, fundamentally flawed. And he says that there are dark issues of prejudged perception. And maybe he was saying on the word dark. Having said black rule countries matter, I would refine that statement to say black countries matter. But the Prime Minister obviously has more defined way of looking at it, recognizing that, you know, certainly like the Bahamas and other countries, not all black people. But generally speaking, that's really what it is about. The United Nations have not paid attention to, enough attention, I think, to the Caribbean, enough attention to Africa, enough attention to some of the Asia Minor countries, certainly even the big ones, India and so on. And so we find ourselves at a crossroads where we are asking, we must ask, where are the fundamental principles? So beyond disarmament and international security, where are the economic and financial support? Where are the social, humanitarian, and cultural development? Yes, we see some, but is it going to be sufficient? So at the end of the day, if we are pursuing economic and financial capability for a country to earn, are we serious? Talk about special political and decolonization, administrative, budgetary, and legal. Yes, especially as it relates to international law. The United Nations has been significant in that arena, you know, certainly hugely influential. But is that enough? So let's now take a turn and hear what's coming from our brothers out of Africa. As the president, the newly minted president at the time from Kenya, William Samoei Ruto, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, and he speaks to some of the challenges from an African perspective and certainly from a Kenyan perspective of the United Nations. Let's hear from the president.
Welcome to Africa at the United Nations.
Excellencies, distinguished delegates, I am grateful for the immense privilege to join this distinguished assembly, a privilege made possible by peaceful, democratic transition following free and fair elections in Kenya on the 9th of August, 2022. The strong collective conviction of my country that the relevance, legitimacy, and moral authority of the United Nations will forever remain deficient, undermined by the absence of comprehensive reforms of the United Nations Security Council. We therefore remain firmly committed to reforming the Security Council to make it a more effective, representative, and democratic global institution. Given the magnitude and variety of challenges the world continues to confront, a more fit for purpose United Nations is urgently needed, one that possesses the legitimacy and efficacy in dealing with threats to international peace and security. A just world cannot be spearheaded by a United Nations Security Council that persistently and unjustly fails the inclusivity criterion. Similarly, threats to democracy will not be credibly resolved by an undemocratic, unrepresentative Security Council. It is vitally important for this critical institution to reflect the values it is entrusted to protect, to defend, to uphold on behalf of humankind. We welcome the call by President Biden this morning for the expansion of the membership of the Security Council as a significant step in the right direction, and we look forward to building consensus for the actualization of the same. The fact of the matter is that the COVID-19 pandemic exposed for all the world to see the severe deficit of these critical values in our present multilateral configuration. All supply chains remained impervious to demands in the global south generally, and Africa in particular. Unequal access to vaccines underscored this unjust and unequal situation with unforgettable clarity. Whenever human life, security and welfare is in jeopardy.
This undemocratic, deficient, more democratic, comprehensive reform needed of the Security Council. When you listen to a speech like that, or at least excerpt from a speech relating to the United Nations, and members can stand up and make statements such as those, one needs to begin to ask themselves exactly who are they serving? How do they benefit the world? How do they benefit those who are not represented in the Security Council? And it becomes fundamental, I think, for us to continue to reflect on this, because we have stuck, we have put a lot of energy, invested a lot of time, send ambassadors and so on and so forth to the United Nations. And the question is, I want to be very balanced here. I'm not discounting any at all the good that they have done, because they have done some good, yeah? I am certainly not discounting the value that they have brought to the world in terms of peace and in terms of human rights and so on and so forth. There has been value. I'm not discounting issues around, say, the sustainable development goals, the fight against hunger and war and development and equality, and the fight to the extent that they have done so for climate change and sustainability. I am not discounting any of those. I do not want anyone to walk away with that feeling. But when you listen to the president of Kenya speak as to and use words such as deficiency over and repeated, we have to now step back and say, is this organization in the totality of all that we consider to be useful economically and otherwise, is it going to be beneficial to us as a people? And as a people, I mean all those of us who they have lumped into this box called Third World. Certainly, from where we sit, all of us here in the Caribbean, how will they serve us? Will it serve us well? Let's continue to hear from President Ruto. Let's take a second clip from him and see what else he has to say about the United Nations.
It is immoral to administer interventions through frameworks that are anchored on fundamental inequality. We are all witnesses to admirable demonstrations of effective solidarity in response to crises in various parts of the world. Our knowledge, of the yet resolute global solidarity reinforces the African exception as particularly repugnant. From genocides and civil conflict to famine and pandemics, the African continent is consistently left behind to bear the brunt of weak solidarity and disastrous failure of multilateralism. History indicates the last time Africa was the focal point of strong and effective multilateralism and multilateral consensus was during the Berlin Conference of 1884-1885, and the character of the ensuing interventions casts a long shadow to date. Not to put too fine a point to it, the failure of multilateralism during crises which relegate the people of Africa outside the cycle of moral consideration and normalizes humanitarian neglect and other casual injustices are failures of humanity. Nothing about Africa, and I say nothing about Africa or its people, makes it acceptable for this type of failure to persist in this era. And we have an urgent moral duty to better and to right this wrong. In conclusion, Kenya joins the Secretary General in calling for the strengthening of multilateralism as the only sustainable path to a peaceful, stable, and prosperous world for all. This is the imperative of our time and the call of this moment. It is time to work on the trust deficit with stronger conviction that none of us is really safe until all of us are safe. The theme of the 77th session, and I quote, a watershed moment, transformative solutions to interlocking challenges, end of quote, demands that we recognize the crises we must confront are interlinked in a complicated way. They can only be effectively addressed through more imaginative strategies and innovative formula.
The words again, moral, repugnant, weak solidarity, weak multilateral focus, fear of multilateralism, human neglect, an urgent moral duty to respond. There's deficit. None of us is safe until all of us is safe. Is a reframed of what Prime Minister of the Bahamas said. Don't do it for you. Become enlightened in your own self. Recognize that when some of us are unsafe, you too are going to be unsafe. And so my point here this evening is, as you listen to these themes, and as we all have, certainly you do and I do, we all have this desire for a better world, but a world which is framed around systems and structures, isms, which are not going to go away. United Nations is and think will remain a fundamental part of world governance. But the question is, how can an organization which would argue for and make moves to defend democracy be called out by those from within its own bowels as being undemocratic in many regards? I think we have to pay attention to these things. We have to think about where we are going as a world, who is leading us, and those who are doing the leading. If you have an organization which is undemocratic in the way it goes about making its decision, largely because of the huge influence of Security Council, then regardless of what they have written down on paper, at the end of the day, self-interest is going to prevail. And so the question that I posed at the beginning continues to ring true. In that arrangement, in the absence of fundamental reforms as the president of Kenya called for. In the absence of those fundamental reforms, where are they going to take us? For those things that we are depending on a neutral organization like the United Nations to deliver, greater equality, a level playing field as it relates to our financial services, better allocation of resources to fight climate change, better use of funds in lending to recognize that we have certain unique and inherent vulnerabilities, which in many ways are exacerbations of those same big countries who run the United Nations Security Council. As we try to impose upon them that we need some leeway for dealing with these things, how are we going to get there unless and until the organization itself becomes more democratic in its decision-making process? Is it a case where we are going to see year after year, these great and powerful, short as they may be, but very powerful speeches, are we going to hear these another year and another year and another year, and then absolutely nothing happens? Nothing changes with Cuba, nothing changes with the embargo. Are we going to get to a place where, as a country, as a region, we can look to the UN and say, yes, they have delivered. They have delivered democratically. They have delivered a level playing field. Is Africa going to be at a place where they can look and say, you know, our desire for human development, our desire to not be carved out and exploited and used and then discarded, is now being addressed because there is a focus. We are at the table with equal footing because in a democratic arrangement, it ought not to simply be those who have the might, but certainly those who are willing to sit and argue and discuss. And we come to the best consensus, which is for the entire world. Are we going to get there? We have a caller on the line. Caller, go ahead. Love to hear from you.
Hey, Mr. Evans, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
That's it. Mr. Evans, I thought you were going to even get to the call, boy, but you surprised me just now. I said, boy, you really taking long.
I know it was you, so I have to kind of stretch you a little bit.
Yeah. But Mr. Evans, this is the second African show we're hearing today from this particular station.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, Uncle Kermit is African show. And today I wanted to try calling in. And I wanted to tell Uncle, even you right now, but don't hang up on me because I ain't seen nothing derogatory, right? But we got enough things going on in this country, right? To put on these talk shows to discuss seriously. Because I mean, from early in the morning, it's just mumbo jumbo and no focus on nothing that is pertaining to this country. We know what the problems are, but it's skating around it. Look what you come talking about.
So this show is not about you. You've been listening to the show, and all you heard about is Africa.
I hear Africa and UN. And you know what? When I started to hear that, right, coming from, because you know what? It's like this anti-European thing. It's anti-white thing. Africa. You know, if you're trying to unify the people, we can't be like that, man. We can't be Africa. We're the Bahamas. Let's talk about the Bahamas, man. I don't be dissing Mr. Edwards. I don't be dissing you because you're intelligent, man.
No.
I don't be dissing you, right? Nobody's going to
your identity,
no? Huh?
You seem to be challenged with your identity.
No. I challenged with my identity. I know who I am. And I don't have to venture. I don't have to venture into some illusion years back. To say, well, Africa, and then just in this place every day. When on these radio, we can hear about us in a positive way. Every day, we hearing all this, and all kinds of derogatory stuff, especially this station. And they put people on, I just in you, right? They put people on you. You even got our tongue in your hair. You ain't mean good. But they give it, why don't put behemoths on this radio and think, who have some kind of something for this country, who care about this country and thing, man? I ain't dissing you, Mr. Edwards, man. You're intelligent, man. But you see, all in our business.
Now, the one thing you need to not do, you're not, you know, don't diss me and tell me you're not dissing
me. I ain't dissing you, Mr. Edwards. I ain't dissing you, sir. You're being real. And you're all saying about people when it be real with you all on the station.
No. Listen, you have a lease to do one or the other. I'm not going to hang up on you. You can do one or the other, but don't make a liar of yourself.
Don't make a what?
A liar of yourself. When you say you're not dissing me.
I am not dissing you, sir. I ain't dissing you, Mr. Edwards. I've called you for years. You know my voice.
Yeah, I know.
I ain't dissing you, man. Mr. Edwards.
Did you hear the beginning of the show when we played the speech from the Prime Minister, Honorable Brave Davis?
You just played it, man. I didn't hear the beginning. But what I'm saying is, Mr. Edwards, right? What I'm saying to you is, right? We got our country. We have a lot of problems, okay? And you know it, right? You know it, right?
Yeah.
Right? You know, and I ain't tell you no lie, right? I ain't definitely in this station either, you know, but you know what? Because when they look at all, I've been calling talk show for years. Before the station even bite. And you know what? I ain't tell you no lie, right? I mean, it's like talk show has been watered down. You know, and it's like all about a host, you know, and their ideology and knows it all, no matter what. No matter who they talk to. And when, you know what? They're stuck. And that delay I'll put on, and then say derogatory things about people, and run and talk to every day.
Thank you so much. I think your point has been made. Maybe it would be useful for you to try your hands at this. You know, I know that there, like you said, there are a lot of issues to be discussed. Some persons choose to discuss those. Some persons choose to discuss other things. I am having a conversation this evening, I think, of a broader issue which goes to the fundamental well-being of the Bahamas. If you fail to see that, I think we have a bigger challenge, because I know your voice, and I know you are a smart person. I know you are intelligent, and I hope the statements you've just made is not representative of the wider population. Because when we fail to understand that, look, we are not living in an isolated box. We are not in some part of the world where we focus inward. It's not by chance that the Prime Minister goes to the United Nations and sits to the United Nations. You need to start to think about your own enlightened interests. You need to recognize, because we already know that there are other issues of prejudiced perception happening here, that there is unfair treatment. If we cannot understand, discuss at a fundamental level, and make the recognition and make the connection between where we wish to go as a country and these other systems, we're going to be in trouble. Because the argument is tied to Africa or tied to other poor countries. Should that be a problem? In many instances, because we are in similar circumstance, we are regarded as third world countries, we have to figure out where we go from here. And so it's important, I think, to have broader conversations. We can talk about, you know, what's happening down at X company, and, you know, who travel where and who pay for that. We could do all that all day long. But I believe that there are greater, more fundamental issues to be dealt with. And so here we are, dealing with these. And thank you for your contribution, but I certainly hope that you take a moment to re-reflect, because I know you're a smart person. And in that re-reflection, I hope you see the value of delving into these matters. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to try to get in very quickly some statements from Prime Minister Mia Motley. You listen to The Essentials, The Reset. Don't move. So serious.
Next Level Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to
to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, maximize their performance, and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions, practical solutions delivered.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the pod, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
The Access Accelerator Small Business Development Center is here to help small businesses throughout the entire Bahamas. To better serve you, we've made it easier to contact us. Call 461-7232, WhatsApp 359-0626 or 359-2394, email helpdesk@sbdcbahamas.com or submit a ticket when you visit our help center at accessaccelerator.org. The Access Accelerator, empowering small business.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to The Essentials, The Reset, as we continue and wrap up this about the UN. Want to get in some presentation by Prime Minister Mia Mottley as she speaks to, I think, at a very sound, sometimes emotional, but really, really fundamental level, you know, outlining some of the problems that we have faced and some of the solutions which are required. So let's take this, the first clip. We have two. We're trying to get both in. I think these are important. Mia Mottley.
Do some leaders in this world believe that they can survive and thrive on their own? Have they not learned from the pandemic? Can there be peace and prosperity if one third of the world literally prospers and the other two thirds of the world live under siege and face calamitous threats to our well-being? What the world needs now, my friends, is that which is within the ambit of less than 200 persons who are willing and prepared to lead. Leaders must not fail those who elect them to lead. And I say to you, there is a sword that can cut down this Gordian knot, and it has been wielded before. The central banks of the wealthiest countries engaged in $25 trillion of quantitative easing in the last 13 years. $25 trillion. Of that, $9 trillion to fight the pandemic. Had we used that $25 trillion to purchase bonds to finance the energy transition or the transition of how we eat or how we move ourselves in transport, we would now today be reaching that 1.5 degrees limit that is so vital to us. I say to you today in Glasgow that an annual increase in the SDRs of $500 billion a year for 20 years, put in a trust to finance the transition, is the real gap, Secretary General, that we need to close, not the $50 billion being proposed for adaptation. And if 500 billion sounds big to you, guess what? It is just 2% of the 25 trillion. This is the sword we need to wield. Our excitement 1 hour into this event is far less than it was 6 months ago leading up to this event. Can we, with those voices and these speeches from Sir David and others, find it within ourselves to get the resolve to bring Glasgow back on track?
Can we bring it back on track? Can we get to the place where we are solving the issues which, you know, ails us? And like the caller insinuated, it's really not about Africa. It's about the entire world. It's really not about the Caribbean. It's about the entire world. It's not about Barbados, Jamaica, Bahamas. It's the entire world. And the fact of the matter is that we are like fish, different fish, in a bowl, yeah? And the extent to which that is challenged means that we too are going to be challenged. And so we have to put in the work. And the point I'm trying to drive across is that here we have leaders from Africa, from the Bahamas, from Barbados, who are lamenting the deficiencies that we are experiencing from the big international organizations. The truth is, Carla, whether you want to admit it or not, that our progress in many ways are being held back. Yes, we are responsible significantly for a number of things, but there are other things that we look to the world as a collective to facilitate, and it's certainly not happening, and it's not likely to happen until there is democratization of institutions like the United Nations. Certainly must happen in order for us to move forward. Let's see if we can get the last clip in, Mr. Producer. Trying to get the last clip as we bring this show to an end. Mayor Motley.
Or do we leave today believing that it was a failure before it starts? Our world, my friends, stands at a fork in the road, one no less significant than when the United Nations was formed in 1945. But then, the majority of our countries here did not exist. We exist now. The difference is we want to exist 100 years from now. And if our existence is to mean anything, then we must act in the interests of all of our people who are dependent on us. And if we don't, we will allow the path of greed and selfishness to sow the seeds of our common destruction. The leaders of today, not 2030, not 2050, must make this choice. It is in our hands. People and our planet need it more than ever. We can work with who is ready to go, because the train is ready to leave. And those who are not yet ready, we need to continue to ring circle and to remind them that their people, not our people, but their citizens, need them to get on board as soon as possible. Code red to the G7 countries. Code red to the G20. Earth to COP, that's what it said. Earth to COP. For those who have eyes to see, for those who have ears to listen, and for those who have a heart to feel, 1.5 is what we need to survive. 2 degrees, yes, SG, is a death sentence for the people of Antigua and Barbuda, for the people of the Maldives, for the people of Dominica and Fiji, for the people of Kenya and Mozambique, and yes, for the people of Samoa and Barbados. We do not want that dreaded death sentence. And we've come here today to say, try harder, because our people, the climate army, the world the planet needs our actions now, not next year, not in the next decade. Thank you.
Thank you. Because there you have it. The Bahamas as a country, say, will be mostly underwater in the next 50 years or so. The question is, are we going to sit back and be comforted with discussing that which is within and refuse to create platforms, refuse to have advocacy, refuse to speak to the bigger issues of the world, which is going to change our circumstances? I put it to you that we have to continue to argue. We have to continue to deliver speeches as the Prime Minister have done. We have to continue to say to institutions like the United Nations, if we are not safe, then ultimately the rest of the world too is going to be in peril. You've been listening to The Essentials. We always end by saying, do not allow your greatness to become a function, a victim of your unwillingness to change. Do not allow your greatness to become a victim of your unwillingness to change. All that's left to say is good night. Be good or good. Take care of yourself. One love and